You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Mark, what's going on the stock market right now?
Very interesting times, and I'd like to talk a little bit about market cycles and so forth. But bottom line is, you know, the conventional wisdom is that, you know, come this time of year, starting in August and possibly stretching through September, October, you know, we can get a market correction. And that seems to be the prevailing thought. At the same time, you're seeing, because of earnings reports at some companies or special announcements, explosive moves to the upside, which is frustrating the bear case. You know, for example, Apple Computer, which is probably the most widely held blue chip tech stock, you know, is pretty much being creamed here the last few weeks, you know, in the last 2 days because of an announcement, I think, politically between Trump and the company in terms of their investments in the United States. I mean, you know, the stock exploded about, you know, 20 points in 2 days. You know, it's, you know, even though the market averages were down today here in the U.S., 224 points, you know, you still had Apple up 7. That stock is in the Dow Industrial average. So, it frustrated those who, you know, got caught on the wrong side of, you know, a special announcement type situation. Another stock which I was playing, everybody was bearish on and got caught in a big short squeeze today, a company by the name of Dutch Brothers, BROS is a ticker symbol. They make their coffee chain, growing coffee chain here in the U.S. I personally like them very much. I've been liking the stock and the company for years. But anyway, it was up about 12.5 points today on an earnings announcement, and many say it was a short squeeze because everybody thought it was going to go the other way, and their earnings weren't that strong. And Costco, you know, had been down in the dumps in the last 2 or 3 days. The stock's rallied about 50 points. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is, you know, despite the admonition that, you know, be careful, there are a lot of analysts saying, you know, come this time of year, we could begin a correction. You know, it's not necessarily applicable to your stock. And even some of the major averages, like the S&P 500, has been awfully resilient. You know, one point today, you know, it was down quite a bit and then, you know, rallied toward the end of the day and gave back all of its losses and actually, you know, closed just about even on the day. Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, you know, that's one cycle aspect, you know, people thinking, you know, that's the case. And then we also have a phenomenon, I guess you could call it. This is the, what I refer to it in my newsletter and others as well, as the Mercury retrograde. And when you start talking about it, I guess the assumption is, oh, that guy is an astrologer, because that term is used in astrology. And I've known about it for decades, and mainly I learned it from friends of mine who are astrologers, and many of which I actually met on the floor of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. I think I told the story many decades ago. So what it is, it's basically, you know, it's a visual phenomenon. You know, it occurs when the Earth overtakes Mercury in its orbit, causing Mercury to appear to move backwards in the sky, okay? And, you know, you can say, well, so what, okay? But in terms of the astrological people, and this is talking thousands of years of analysis, this is not just some guy who came up with the idea, it has an effect on the human psyche, on the Earth, in some strange way. And what the strange way is, at least how I was taught, is that you run into a period when it goes into a retrograde, which is now in effect, I think, from mid-July until about the end of this week or on Monday. You know, things are so, they're helter-skelter. Things happen, like, you know, sudden dramatic moves in the market or false ups and false downs, and you get you get whipsawed, and on and on and on during this Mercury period. It happens like 3-4 times a year. So, you know, most people hear it, and they probably listening to this interview, they probably just want to hang up and, you know, turn it off. So, you know, obviously they feel this is a bunch of nonsense. Well, it's not nonsense, and in fact, it's so not nonsense that it was really interesting. Within the last week, it was actually about 2 weeks ago, Forbes magazine, which is one of the leading financial magazines here in the U.S., came out with a lead article. I almost fell out of my chair, you know, because obviously I'm watching this phenomenon for decades, having learned about it. It's just something you watch and you pay attention to. It's like if a solar eclipse is coming, you know, you want to pay attention to an event, and I just keep an eye on it. So the headline was, Mercury retrograde starts today. Here's the truth behind the fear. So they go through a whole article basically discrediting any relationship between a Mercury retrograde and the financial markets or anything happening here on the Earth, okay? And they describe, it's actually posted this in my newsletter, what is Mercury retrograde and the supposed mythology behind it, stemming all the way back to the Greeks and on and on and on. So the fact they even took the time to do that, to try to discredit it, tells me even more that what I've been observing for all these years is absolutely true. And just as we watch, you know, the seasonality patterns in the market, you know, what happens around the vernal equinox or the winter solstice or that kind of thing, and also watching the lunar cycles and their effect on the Earth in terms not only, you know, political events, but, you know, financial markets and agriculture and everything else. I just thought it was fascinating that Forbes magazine came out with this story. So we're in this Mercury retrograde period right now, which started in roughly mid-July. And I said, I think it ends on Monday. And typically what it means is you get a lot of false moves in the market. In other words, like we saw today, you know, market's up big in the morning and suddenly it collapses. And it bows down 300 or 400, almost 500 points, then it comes back by the end of the day. And we've seen several of these patterns in the last 30 days where during this Mercury retrograde period, you get these whipsaws in the market, and that's typical of the phenomenon. So you can laugh about it, you can hang up the interview, but, you know, you're not studying history and cyclical patterns. And I've been impressed over this over the decades. You know, as a trader, you know, listening to the nonsense that comes out of Wall Street, you know, all they talk about is earnings reports of companies or what economists are forecasting or what the Federal Reserve is going to do or not do. Yeah, some of these have some short-term effects on the market, no question about it. But it's all, you know, it's being generated by those that are biased. And the earnings reports in particular, it's like you believe that no one knows the results of the earnings reports before they're released. Of course they do. And the big brokerage firms, the big money managers, the institutional investors all know the stories ahead of time, but it's the public that doesn't know about it. So they position themselves accordingly. And so it's all human manipulation. You know, they talk about today, all of the news, you know, Nancy Pelosi, the former House Speaker, made lots of money because they got inside information when they're in their political office, and they're talking about trying to pass legislation so that, you know, congressional members or senators can't trade off inside information. So it's a whole discussion in the financial press today. I'm sure you might have seen that. Of course, it's not a new story. It's been talked about for a while. But what I'm saying is there's so much inside information and manipulation in Wall Street, and that's why I turn to cycles. I turn to my own technical work, you know, volume studies and other indicators to try to determine what stocks to buy or where the market is going, because it's a manipulated market, you know, and that's really what has been and always will be, and that's just the nature of the beast. But the real point I want to make is that the Forbes article here with the Mercury retrograde, I think, was really a keystone event in terms of Wall Street, and very little coverage about it in terms of you listen to the financial news networks and so forth. But to me, it was a major statement that, you know, the legacy media is trying to discredit something which does have value and which the average person would say is a bunch of nonsense, which is not the case at all. So it's like saying, does the moon affect tides on the earth? As and our bodies are 90% water, and are we possibly affected by lunar cycles and so forth? And to say no is stupidity, because obviously there is a relationship of some kind. And we know at full moons, for example, I'm getting off the Mercury track here for a second, but we know there's many occasions where emergency rooms are full of people, and during full moons there is effect on humankind. So just interesting what's going on. So to answer your question, the market is in this choppy period, but the trend's up, and interest rates are going to be coming down. And though that's not the big factor, I think it's more the fact of money supply still keeping relatively loose on the part of the Fed, and political considerations, and the fact that the tariff program is going to be working out ultimately, and the market's basically in an uptrend with positive taxation and other factors. So it's just an indigestion period. But I would remain positive, because I think the end result is going to be much, much higher prices. And we might see the market fool everybody. They're all saying, come September, October, we can get a crash or a correction. Well, maybe just the opposite will happen this year and fool the majority, which is something I'm keeping my eyes and ears open for, too, keeping an eye on the charts, particularly when you see, like today, Apple Computer in the last 2 days exploding to the upside when supposedly we should be going down during this time frame, or the semiconductor stocks like Taiwan Semiconductor. And what about the big leader, NVIDIA, the big chip maker, keeps making new highs during this time frame. And nuclear stocks, nuclear energy related stocks have been strong because of the push toward, self-reliant nuclear energy. So there's a lot of stuff to keep you on your toes and optimistic about. So I'm remaining bullish, recognizing we here are in this little Mercury retrograde period, and keeping in the back of my head, well, everybody's thinking we're going to come down here in the next month or two, and maybe that won't happen. So you got to watch a bit, but I wouldn't be selling out of the market by any stretch.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold?
Doing well. It's holding up. Silver has been moving. A little correction in the palladium and platinum. But, the gold is, holding its own. And one of the reasons is we start to see, the dollar, which had been rallying, the U.S. dollar rallying, starting to pull back. And, the general thinking, it doesn't always work, but generally there is that correlation that they move in opposite directions. So when the dollar is strong, gold is under pressure. But, we had a dollar rally for a while, and gold really didn't come off that much. It did pull back $150 or so an ounce. And, there are reasons to believe that it's way overvalued, and at some point we can get more of a correction. But play may be more in the gold shares themselves. Like the gold shares were lagging for the longest time, and now they seem to be acting exceptionally better than they did in the past, even though gold itself isn't doing very much. So maybe the realization came to all these gold companies and gold share companies are really going to be profiting and making some money now, where maybe they were before, but they weren't given recognition for that. So the gold shares, I think, are acting actually a lot better than the metal itself, but I'm not discounting that the metal has to come down in any major way. We're watching it. So it's a core position. I think you just got to keep it, because there's too much talk about gold being tied to the crypto market and to the treasury market due to the administration's belief that, we're going to be strengthening our economic backbone, so to speak, in terms of the way the Federal Reserve conducts itself and the way the Treasury Department concerns itself and the new crypto exchanges that are out there and the new Bitcoin reserve that's been created by Donald Trump. And there's a lot of connection with gold to that. And then if you forget that whole scenario, you got the BRICS out there, supposedly trying to discredit the dollar and back that with gold or crypto in some way. So you got to sort of keep your core position. There's just too many pieces moving around here, too much jello on the plate, so to speak, swashing around here that this ultimately still benefits the gold market. So, yes, we can get at some point couple $100 pullback in it. The moment you're seeing more of it, more strength in the shares, and you could argue that the surge in silver here might be a speculative sign that maybe it's coming at the tail end of the move and the caution flag is up because silver is finally starting to move where before it wasn't moving. So I guess that's a warning sign in some sense, but no clear sell signal has been generated. So we're keeping our core positions and just hanging in there, and both shares, the ETFs that represent the shares, as well as the metal itself, but also keeping a finger on other markets like the palladium market, the platinum market, the copper market, the silver market, base metals and so forth, because and uranium, particularly with what's going on with the initiative for nuclear energy, even lithium has come back a bit. So rare earths in particular, with the big push now, since we're so dependent on China for the rare earths, so a lot of push on the government's part here to fund companies and support companies that are producing that. So the whole metal complex, base metals, precious metals, are still very much in vogue, including, as I mentioned, the nuclear stuff. So this is the time, a strong time for the metals, just both politically and economically. So you got to sort of keep your positions there because the cycles are and the momentum are in their favor,
What's happening with uranium?
Same thing. Uranium is had a correction, but is coming back up again. But the big uranium-related stocks, particularly like Cameco, which is Canadian-based, is off a little bit from its high, but virtually near its all-time high. And many of the nuclear related stocks are more talk than reality in terms of their production to produce these small nuclear reactors that they're being promoted. The big company that really is producing the nuclear reactors is General Electric, ticker symbols GEV for GE Vernova, which is the company that really has tremendous demand for their products. So that's probably the real company out there, but that's all related to nuclear. So it falls in the same category, Jim, as the rare earths, the nuclear, the gold, or the whole sector. It's anything metallurgically related to the markets is strong. So still a bull, still a demand for that. See, some of the uranium companies, and I don't want to mention some of the names, but some ones that we follow, were in nuclear, they were in uranium, but they also touch into the rare earth business and some of the other metals as well. So when you're out there digging, you might have some uranium, but there might be some rare earth there as well, or some silver or gold or some other base metals, and they all sort of connect to one another. So companies that are out there that are in the mining business or in the business of finding these metals, end up gathering other metals too that are considered valuable. So it's like saying, even Freeport-McMoRan, which is the big copper company here in the U.S., actually based in Phoenix, but they have mines all over the world. But part of their company is in the gold business, too. They had made a gold acquisition years ago. So they've covered the bases. Most of the metal companies are involved in all the key metals in one form or another. And for that reason, they're all buys, in my opinion, or still their holds here, considering what's going on in terms of the economy and demand for these metals.
What's happening on the cryptocurrency front?
Exciting as always. You know, that Bitcoin just keeps jogging around here. You know, it got up to, what, 122,000, dropped to 112,000. Now is around 116,000. We're talking, of course, Bitcoin now. I mean, it's setting the stage for move up to the 140s, 150s, and ultimately, who knows, could be $1 million at some point in the next 10 years. You know, it has all that possibility, and you've got the government behind it, all the legislation here in the U.S. in terms of the Genius Act and the other legislation that's been passed to accommodate that market. Big transition is underway. You know, there are some experts out there that say you haven't even, this is the tip of the iceberg of what's coming. So, yes, you have volatility. I mean, Bitcoin, you go up to 150,000 and then drop back to 80,000 and then go to 200,000 after that. I mean, it's a wild market. It has been. I mean, it started at, what, $10 or $20? Or $100, you know, back it was on 2010, 2011, and went all the way up to $122,000. I mean, it's beyond investors' imagination that something like that could happen or has happened. And we've already seen little cryptos like one that's very popular, XRP. Within the last 5 years, it was trading at 25, 30 cents. Now it's trading $3. I mean, you know, and some feel it's going to go much, much higher because of the government and institutions utilizing that particular crypto for business and, statement settlement purposes for, transferring funds and conducting business. And then we got the whole stablecoin thing going on, you know, now the stablecoin legislation with the Genius Act has been passed. Another form of currency. I know we've talked about this last couple of weeks. Walmart and others are going to create their own stable coins, which are going to be backed by treasuries, and it'll be another form of doing a transaction. Instead of using a checkbook or a credit card or cash, you'll have a stable coin. And when I say stable, it means it's going to be backed in a way that it doesn't change value. And as a result of utilizing this, it saves companies money. They're interest charges, expenses, transferring expenses, all kinds of things that are involved in conducting any type of business. So the big push for that. So that's, I guess that you can throw that into the crypto basket. So it's part of the whole game plan. So yeah, you gotta be in it. It's like you're asking me about gold, or it's the wind's at your back. They're going to have their volatility, their period of time. And you got to be taking, a couple, 3, 4, 5 year perspective with it, just like gold and silver as we've had in the last decade. You can't assume it's all going to happen in 6 months. And we can get a rally here, and then we could blow off to the upside and then go through a period of correction and then go down for a while and come up again. So it's a question of whether you're trading or taking a, longer term view. But I would say, any of the crypto names should be part of your portfolio, just as you would own the S&P 500, or you would own some gold or silver, or you would own some treasury bills or treasury bonds as part of a balanced portfolio. So interesting stuff going on out there. We had an interesting story this week, getting off a little bit on a tangent here with the Sydney Sweeney story with the jeans. I know if you've heard about that. I'm sure you did. American Eagle Outfitters. She came out with some really funny videos. We actually were trading the stock a little bit. I think there's going to be more to it, to the upside. I'm sort of mentioning because I think it's sort of a fun thing, because a lot of the woke or left community here in the U.S. around the world criticized this company, American Eagle Outfitters, and Sydney Sweet for talking about her jeans and how attractive she is in it. So it's creating a lot of stir here, on the political front. But I thought it was really cute and exciting. And if you look at the stock itself, it's way undervalued. And love. You know, I watch the commercials and I hear what's happening, that these jeans are selling like hotcakes. So another crazy story going on here in terms of, you know, where the action is in the market. So I keep an eye on the American Eagle outfit. There's a Sydney Sweeney in her funny little videos. Just fun stuff. You know, it makes the business exciting and amusing when you see these little, you know, side events suddenly pop up and create a lot of press and controversy. At the same time, you can profit from them if you were able to trade the stock. So
it's publicity you can't buy.
Right.
It's brilliant. It's like, I mean, I saw this with Brooke Shields back in the 1970s.
Right. So if you watch the videos, the cutest thing, she's sitting there, look how attractive I look in my jeans, and it appeals to the younger generation, and suddenly this, you know, American Eagle Outfitters is not Walmart, it's not Target, it's not Kohl's, it's not one of the big stores, but it is, you know, legitimate outfit, and they're marketing this particular jean with this young girl, and created so much publicity and business for the company. I just thought it was funny that the commercials were even criticized, and I don't want to get into all the politics of it because it's aggravating, but, you know, it just a lot of people felt that this Caucasian girl flashing some beautiful jeans in a very attractive young body was alienating other minority groups or races or something, which is preposterous. So if any other minority group was doing it, I'm sure they would not be criticizing it. So it's just crazy what's going on with the legacy media and the left politically here in the U.S. and around the world. That just, you know, from as far as I'm concerned, they're suffering from a form of mental illness when they criticize some girl, attractive girl, selling a pair of jeans. But in any event, nice side story. I thought it was sort of fun to bring it up here instead of only talking about the major market trends, because, you know, there's always special situations and things that come up, you know, in the market, you know, unrelated to the major trends. You know, there's always special, you know, developments, products that suddenly emerge and attract a lot of investor attention. So more of that comes and makes things fun and exciting.
What's going on the geocosmic front?
Well, again, we have the Mercury retrograde ending on August 10th. We have a full moon in the next day or two. You know, we've had some added volcanic activity occurring. And just, you know, general, the solar flares are not at any maximum. They're really calm. In fact, I was at the Lowell Observatory here in Flagstaff just yesterday looking at the sun, you know, through their special telescopes, you know, that filter out, you know, the negative rays and so forth. And there's no notable sunspot activity. Usually when you get a high sunspot activity crossing the face of the sun, that sort of generates the negative solar flares that could affect the Earth. So at the moment, we seem to be in a quiet period, which is fortunate. We're in this, again, this after, I guess, August 10th coming up, we run into a little more of a quiet period, and the next big cyclical event will be the fall equinox coming up September 22nd, 23rd. So that general time frame, much as the vernal equinox in March and the winter solstice in late December and so forth, could generate a change of direction in the markets, which we watch every year. So four times a year we watch the key seasonal patterns, and on top of the shorter term indicators. So come the third week of September, it could be high or low that time frame, but it should be interesting. So that's sort of a current summary, what's going on. Quite a bit of short-term stuff happening. Interesting times.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always fun. Thank you, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.